Hello, my name is Tanya Julio. I'm one of the scientific lead specialists at the Nordic QC. We have now completed the general run 77 and the companion module C19. The general reports and recommended controls are now available on the homepage. However, you need to log in to see your specific results and advices. In this podcast, Dr. Christy Bøe Andersen, Scientific Associate and PhD Fellow, will present a brief summary of the results generated for all the markers included in this run. I hope you will enjoy the podcast and wish you all a pleasant summer.
Welcome to this Nordic QC update. Today we are taking a closer look at the results from General Module Run 77 and Companion Module C19. This is your quick overview of the latest assessment results. There were plenty of strong performers, but the journey was not completely bump-free. A few markers still managed to keep us on our toes. But for the full story on each marker, you can find the latest assessment reports on our website at nordicqc.org. EMA. EMA is often used to identify carcinomas of epithelial origin, especially when the primary site of the cancer is still unknown. In this assessment, we looked at the results from 426 laboratories. The overall pass rate was 76%. The last Nordic QC assessment of EMA took place 16 years ago, and in ISC terms, 16 years is almost a different geological age. So, what did we discover when we dug into EMA again? First, a question. Which clone do you think was used by 86% of the laboratories? Yes, it was clone E29. And luckily, the most popular choice also turned out to be the most reliable one. Clone GP1.4 was a very different story. It produced no sufficient results. The analytical sensitivity was too low and it struggled keeping the expected cytoplasmic staining and instead produced membranous staining. And based on these results, this clone should not be used. Now, let's look at the control tissues. Based on our previous knowledge, we expected the tonsil to be the most reliable control, but actually the kidney gave us the clearest warning when assay sensitivity was too low. In particular, weak to moderate staining reaction in the loops of Henle was difficult to achieve. And colon adenocarcinoma was also a useful warning sign. When the protocol was not calibrated properly, the staining came much weaker. Protocols with reduced analytical sensitivity also showed fewer positive plasma cells and perineural cells, for example, in tonsil. You can think of those tissues as early warning systems. A little like the canaries once used in coal mines. Miners brought canaries underground because the birds were highly sensitive to toxic gases such as carbon monoxide. When a canary showed signs of distress, the miners knew it was time to head back on the surface. These tissues can do something similar for us. They can warn us early when an assay is losing sensitivity, but only, of course, if we remember to include them in our testing. MSH2. MSH2 immunohistochemistry is used to look for loss of MSH2 in carcinomas with mismatch repair deficiency. And for this assessment, 397 laboratories returned the slides, and the pass rate? An excellent 98%. Though this is definitely one of the success stories for this run. In fact, 93% of laboratories used ready-to-use system for MSH2 detection. And this played a major part in this excellent overall results. When we look specifically at the main ready-to-use systems used exactly as recommended, the pass rate was 100%. Yes, 100%. And the Ventana Rush ready-to-use system produced 95% optimal results. I want to pause on that for a moment. It was not just a 95% pass rate. These were optimal results. And the DACO Agilent assay performed extremely well as well, with 93% optimal results. So the message here is quite simple. When we have excellent products, we follow the recommended protocols, producing excellent IHC can actually be quite easy. MUM1 is used in the HANS algorithm to help classify diffuse large cell lymphoma as either germinal center B cell-like or non-germinal center B cell-like. In total, 363 laboratories returned the slides, and the pass rate was a strong 91%. The clear star of that show was the DACO Agilent ready-to-use assay for Omnis, based on clone MUM1P. This achieved 100% sufficient results and an impressive 98% optimal results. The Rush Ventana ready-to-use assay based on clone EP190 also achieved an excellent pass rate. But there was a catch. None of those were rated as optimal because cells with optimal nuclear MUM1 staining also showed some cytoplasmic staining. And this was not an isolated issue. In fact, half of all protocols in the assessment produced some cytoplasmic staining in several of the tissues. And this was accepted when the nuclear and cytoplasmic staining could be easily separated and when it did not affect classification using the HANS algorithm. These assays were rated as good with a comment of cytoplasmic staining. The problem came when the nuclear and cytoplasmic reactions had the same intensity. Then the result became difficult to read. In clinical practice, this could potentially lead to misclassification, so these assays did not pass. It is a bit like trying to read dark text on equally dark background. The information might be there, but good luck working out what you're actually looking at. NKX 3.1 is typically used to help identify a prostatic origin in carcinomas where the primary site is unknown. In total, 290 laboratories returned slides and 91% achieved a sufficient result. Interestingly, 92% of all participants used an assay based on the same clone, EP356, and it was a good choice. EP356 showed the strongest performance, with an overall pass rate of 94%. And optimal results were also achieved on all main IHC platforms. This confirms EP356 as a robust and reliable choice for NKX 3.1. A robust clone is a bit like a reliable travel companion. It performs well in different settings and it does not become difficult at the moment the surroundings change. So for any NKX 3.1 journey, EP 356 is definitely a clone I would be happy to bring along. Bexate. Bexate is used in diagnostic workup of cancers of unknown primary. It can help point towards a female genital tract, renal, or thyroid origin. A total slides from 415 laboratories were assessed, and the pass rate was, unfortunately, only 64%. That made PAX8 the most challenging marker in the general module in this run. Clone SB348 performed well, and the newly introduced Ventana Rush Ready-to-Use assay based on this clone achieved a 100% pass rate. But widely used clones MRQ50 and EP331 told a very different story. Their performance was poor, the main problem was low analytical sensitivity. In simple terms, cells that should have stained either did not stain at all or stained much more weakly than expected. And there was another problem, cross-reactivity with other PAX protein family members. For example, reaction with PAX5 positive lymphocytes in the tonsil. And this can create a real risk of misinterpretation when investigating cancers of unknown primary origin. A good IHC marker should behave like a reliable witness. It should give a clear and specific answer. But if it whispers when it should speak up or starts answering questions meant for PAX5, the diagnostic picture quickly becomes much harder to understand. And this combination of low sensitivity and cross-reactivity was the reason many assays did not pass. Companion module run C19. Claudin 18.2 testing is used to identify patients with gastric or gastroesophageal junction cancers who may be eligible for treatment with sobituximab. In total, 117 laboratories returned slides, and the pass rate was excellent, 96%. The Ventana Rush assay based on clone 4314A performed especially well, achieving 100% pass rate. Laboratory-developed assays using concentrated antibodies were less successful, with a pass rate of only 60%. Most of the insufficient results were caused by weak or false negative staining in carcinomas that should have been above the clinically important 75% cutoff. And this is where assay sensitivity really matters. A weak assay can push a tumor from one side of the treatment threshold to the other. On paper, that may look like a small difference in staining, but for the patient, it may mean the difference between receiving a treatment or missing out on it. So, when the result decides access to therapy, the assay needs to be sharp, reliable, and loud enough to be heard. Folate receptor alpha. The companion module family is growing again, and its newest member is folate receptor alpha. Folate receptor alpha testing is used to identify patients with epithelial ovarian, fallopian tube, or primary peritoneal cancers who may be eligible for treatment with mirvetuximab soravtansine. This was the very first NORQC assessment of folate receptor alpha. And in total, 83 laboratories returned slides and the pass rate was 90%. The approved Ventana Rush Fuller 1 2.1 assay performed extremely well. When used on their intended platform, it achieved a 100% pass rate. Laboratory-developed assays had a tougher time. Clone BN 3.2 was the most widely used and achieved a pass rate of 71%. And ready-to-use assays without predictive claim performed even less well, with a pass rate of just 33%. These results highlight how difficult it can be to develop a new companion diagnostic assay in the laboratory. And the challenge becomes even greater when the clone used in the approved companion diagnostic assay is not available as a concentrated antibody. It is a bit like trying to recreate a recipe without access to one of the main ingredients. PD-L1. In this assessment, PD-L1, GPS and CPS testing focused on identifying patients with non-small cell lung cancer or breast cancer who may benefit from treatment with pembrolizumab. In total, 299 laboratories returned slides, and this time PD-L1 reached a new milestone. The pass rate was 96%, the highest ever achieved in a Nordic QC PD-L1 assessment. And the strongest overall performer was the DACO Agilent 22C3 assay for Omnis. When used according to the recommended protocol, it achieved 98% pass rate, with 92% of results rated as optimal. The DACO Agilent autostainer assay based on the same clone achieved an even higher pass rate, a perfect pass rate of 100%. However, the proportion of optimal results was lower. The Roche Ventana SB263 assay also performed very well. The locked assays received pass rates between 97 and 100% when used on their intended platforms. But once again, fewer results were rated as optimal. And interestingly, the main problem in this run was not simply weak staining reaction. The most insufficient results were linked to technical quality. These included excessive cytoplasmic staining, poor signal-to-noise ratio, a granular or unclear staining. And this is different from many previous runs, where low sensitivity and false negative results were the main challenges. So this time the signal was often there, but the problem was that it arrived with a little too much noise. Overall, this run showed very strong performance. The results for MSH2, MUM1, NKX3.1 were especially impressive. They reflect the excellent work being done in laboratories and by the vendors behind these assays. EMA, and particularly PAX8, were more challenging. They reminded us that assay performance can depend heavily on choosing the right antibody and getting the protocol just right. In companion module C19, all markers achieved pass rates of 90% or higher. And this is especially encouraging because these predictive assays carry a major clinical responsibility. The goal is not simply to produce a beautiful staining result. The goal is to identify the right patient and connect the patient with the right treatment. And behind every percentage, there are patients waiting for an answer. And that is why the quality of IHC matters so much. On behalf of the whole Nordic QC team, this is Christy Anderson wishing you all a relaxing summer, comfortable laboratory temperatures, and plenty of successful assays. And hopefully, very few unexpected surprises.